You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Hondo, Joe Schmidt.
How you doing, man?
All sorts of celebrities out here today, baby.
Yes. All right. Paul's still on the phone. We're going to start all over again. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, what I did when I was waiting, I went through and did his instructions. I pulled
there
him
we
back
go.
Okay, but now, what do you want to start all over again, Hondo?
Yeah, let's do that again, because this is kind of a timing thing, and we kind of got a little bit rushed on the previous segment.
Yes.
So I just want you to, you mind, Paul, if we try it again?
No, go ahead.
Okay, your card the other time wasn't the King of Diamonds, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, that's fine. Do me a favor. You've got your deck, right?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and mix them up. Maybe you've already done that.
Now you want them facing the same direction.
Yeah,
now.
All cards face down.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, now cut off less than half of the deck and turn it face up in front of you. Memorize the card on top that you're looking at.
Okay, I did.
All right. Now, I'm going to have you shuffle them so that all the face-up cards go into the face-down cards. So let some face-down cards fall, then shuffle, and make sure some face-down cards on the top at the end. You follow me?
Got it.
All right. Now, cut them right in the middle. Cut them right in the middle in two piles and put the bottom half on top.
Okay.
Now, here's where we were hurried before. What I want you to do is I'll explain it first, and then I'll tell you when to start. I'm going to have you deal through the entire deck at a constant pace, putting every card down in front of you in a pile. Some will be face up, some will be face down. When you come to a face up card, simply name it, but just keep a constant pace dealing every card in a pile in front of you. Does that sound
good? Got it.
All right. Ready?
Oh, so you just want all the cards, but you want me to tell you when there's a face-up?
Yes.
Right. You're going to just deal every card at the same pace, face down in front of you, going through the whole deck. And if the card is face down, there will be a pause. If the card is face up, just name those cards as you come to them.
Okay, so I'm not naming the ones that aren't face up, correct?
Correct.
Right.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
Ace of spades.
You did cut the deck, right?
Yep. Nine of clubs. Four of clubs. Queen of hearts. Five of spades. Queen of clubs. Three of diamonds. Seven of clubs. Nine of hearts. Nine of diamonds. Four of diamonds. Six of clubs. Ten of clubs. Seven of spades. And five of diamonds.
Well, this is a tough one. It really is. I mean, I have no idea, but I was just trying to get a sense from your voice. From some people, their voice changes when they're looking at their card. You didn't consciously change your voice, did you?
Sorry, no, I didn't.
Okay, so that's okay. Okay, I kind of picked up on it like you did. Was your card by any chance a cherry-colored card?
No.
Oh, so you've never heard of black cherry?
No.
Yeah, your card was a black card, am I right?
Yes.
For some reason, I'm feeling like it was a face card. Is there any chance of that? Remember the card you were supposed to look at?
Yeah, I do. No, it wasn't a face card.
You're kidding me. But it was a black card.
Yes.
Well, I just, it's just not, I can narrow it down to the seven of clubs. Or, well, that wasn't it, was it?
No.
All right, or, this isn't working. Five of spades. Five of spades.
No.
Six
of
clubs.
Want me to tell you what it was?
Yes, please do.
Well, it was the ace of spades. That's why I hesitated, because that's not technically a face card, is it?
No, but it really.
Do you have any queens?
Should not have been your ace of spades. Ace of spades was the first card you named, and Yep. Had you cut the deck, that should not have been up there in the top. But that's all right. This is not a sure thing. And, I told Patrick we'd give it a shot.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Now I want you to give one trick to Manny Hill.
Is that why when he said Ace of Spades first, that's why you asked him, did you cut the cards?
Exactly, because what I was really thinking at that point was it was the Ace of Spades, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't have been. So I actually thought it was, but it shouldn't have been. Sometimes you got to trust your first instinct, you know?
Gotcha.
So I'll do a quick one for you. Just name a card in the deck. Just name one.
Just name
one. What comes
one?
To mind, yeah.
Seven of Hearts.
All right, the Seven of Hearts. Let's see if I'm playing with a full deck. And as I go through this deck, it's interesting that I'm not seeing a Seven of Hearts. Go with another one.
King of Spades.
All right, I can handle a King of Spades, I think. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mix these guys up. I'm simply going to have you reach in and remove one at random. Just one. I don't care which one. Just one. Doesn't matter to me. Right. Now, the odds against this are pretty astronomical. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, come on. Stop it, Hondo. Come on. I grabbed the King of Spades. Come on.
We wanted to end on a victory.
Yes, that's right.
Come on. Unbelievable.
Thank you, man.
Fantastic.
All right. Hondo, thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick,
for being here with us.
Thank you.
Yes. Sorry you got so wet out there today, people. But
hey, Pat, really quick, speaking of magic last night, Manny and I never even got to tell you our story.
Well, we'll have that. You might as want to stick around for this story. So, all right. Yesterday, first day of the fair, I was here until 6 o'clock and scurried over to make the 6:15. You guys stayed
Well, we had to do the beer show. Yes. Yeah.
You were hosting the beer show, and yep. Manny was running the board.
That's sure. Just like we have done every week for the past couple of years.
Then yeah. What happened?
So we, you know, what typically ends up happening, because it's the very first day, it's extremely celebratory, Pat.
Yes,
and
right.
We had the great people from Summit Brewing over here. Mark Stutrud, the owner and founder of Summit Brewing, was nice enough to join us for the entire hour, and he's as gracious as can be. Here's the one problem. When he comes on the show, he brings about $7 million worth of beer with him to hand out to everybody, because that's the kind of guy he is. He wants to take care of people.
This is the Summit guy.
This is the Mark Stutrud, the owner of Summit.
This is the guy who started it all, right?
No more craft beer is sold
beer phenomenon
on these grounds than Summit EPA.
Well, plus they were the first one.
That's right.
Here,
that's right, baby. Okay. So Manny and I hung out here for a little bit, and then we thought, you know what, let's wander up to the Ballpark Cafe and get one of Perky's beers.
Sure.
So we walked up there.
Which wasn't your first Perky beer of the day, but that's another point.
That's true. Yeah. So we walked up there, we had another one, and we ran into some friends up there, and then we thought, you know what, let's go take in Tower of Power at the Liney
sure.
Lodge.
So is the Liney Lodge free?
Liney Lodge is full. The beer isn't free, but you can watch a show there for absolutely no cost.
But there had to be a correct. Mob of
there,
people.
There right? was a lot of people up
yes.
there.
Yes.
And they're playing again tonight, so I imagine even despite the rain, they're still going to get a good crowd there for a Friday night. And then we were on our way back to the shuttle, and our friends from Elevated, it was Ryan, who owns the store, who's been on the beer show since day one, and his beautiful wife, Sarah, who was carrying around the baby, and she said,
"You know, I saw the baby."
She said, "I want to go to the haunted house."
Oh, and with the baby.
And Manny had the great line. He says, "Black people don't do haunted houses."
I sure don't.
But he was such a soldier. He still went in.
I led the way. I led the way. And I looked back at everybody and said, "Okay, you're going to make the black guy. Black dude go first. The black dude, we don't even go into these things.
No.
And that's going to make me go first."
No. Oh, hell no.
Oh, that was an experience. Manny, you were such a trooper, and I was proud of you. As your big brother in radio, I was very proud of you.
When did you know it was a mistake? How far into the haunted house?
Oh, well, see, I'm a tough guy, though, and I love horror movies. So, yeah. It didn't really bother me that much.
We go around the corner, and there's the one guy with the big clown mask and the fake blood all over. And Manny says, "Do not scare a black man."
That's right.
So, yeah, so then we ended up we got back. We did the shuttle ride home, and everybody got home safe and sound. It was fantastic.
It was great night.
We thought, you know what? It's beer show night. We've got to take full advantage of day one here at the Minnesota State Fair.
Well, I thought there might be even more adventures of this one.
on last Thursday? Well, see, you got to kind of ease into it, Pat. You can't go all out, you know, day one, because then you just run out of steam for the rest of the time that you're out here.
Well, that's you know what I remember my youthful appearances out here back when I was a high school, my first summer in Prior Lake.
Okay.
And I went to the fair with some of the fellows who I just met.
Okay.
17, no problem. You went to the beer garden and you started ordering beer.
Right.
No problem. That was before we had strict regulations out here of people. Now, I don't think the 18 was the age then either, but for about a couple of years there, it was that I was there. They you could just come out here and drink, and then I think they had some incidents, and they kind of cracked down.
How about this, though? I mean, we were talking about this very thing last night. I mean, they go through thousands and thousands of kegs out here over the 12 days of the state fair. And up until just a couple of years ago, all of the beer here was 3-2. So, Pat, you're talking about Surly, you know, this magnificent large craft brewery.
Hey, UTEP, stay here a second, UTEP. Stay here a second.
And they had to brew a special blend that was lower in alcohol content just to sell here at the state fair.
Well, that's good. I got to talk to UTEP here.
All right, man.
Texas Western. How loyal are you to UTEP? Did you go to school there?
Manny, why don't you grab him a wireless mic that's right back over here.
Yes.
His uncle went to University of Texas, El Paso.
Well, of course, Texas Western, now UTEP, was the first black school with an all-black lineup to win the national championship.
Correct.
Dirty Daddy Davey Latin, Willie Cager, Willie Worsley.
And the coach was Don Askins, correct?
Neville Shedd.
Yep.
I think I gave you four of the starters. I can't think of who the fifth one is.
Maybe it was you, Pat.
I could have played with that collection.
You could
Davey Latin, Neville Shedd, Willie Worsley, Willie Cager. Damn it, I can't think of the other one.
If you got the fifth one, I'm impressed as heck.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, I love Texas Western. So I liked it better when it was named Texas Western, though. That was a great name.
Yeah, UTEP's kind of cool. Look at my shirt, man.
Yeah, well, that looks pretty good. That's right.
Appreciate that, Patrick.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
See ya. Yes.
You know, that's not every day that you're going to get a UTEP fan here at the Minnesota State Fair.
No, that's not. No, it's not. And we're going to have to look that up during the break, of course. Now,
well, I got a computer here. What do you want me to look up?
All right. Texas Western.
Okay.
1965.
Texas Western, 1965.
I think it was 65, right?
Okay.
Or it was 66.
Let me turn Manny's mic back up here before I do that. Texas Western. Now, didn't they do a movie on this one?
Glory Road.
Glory Road, that's right.
Very good movie.
You want the 1965.
Which was interesting is they had the Kentucky fans waving flags, Confederate flags, and the Kentucky did not fight for the Confederate.
Don Haskins was in his fifth season. Okay. You want the roster. Is that what you want, sir?
No, I
want
to know who the starters were, but let me look at the roster.
All right, here's your roster. You've got...
Willie Cager is there. There's the
Willie
fifth
Cager.
Starter,
yep.
Bobby Joe Hill. Dave Latin.
Yep.
Neville Shedd and Willie Worsley.
And why is there another guy highlighted? Orston Artis?
He might have came off the bench.
Okay.
But guy I forgot was Bobby Joe Hill, who was a fantastic player, too.
That's a great basketball name, too.
Okay. Am I the only guy at the Minnesota State Fair in the last 2 days who could name four of the five starters for Texas Western's national championship team?
You're the only guy in Minnesota.
But here's the key, ladies and gentlemen. Now, double or nothing, where did you put your keys?
I actually hope I have them because my car is parked at Target Field. So I'd hate to get there and have them still be in the
office.
I
don't know where my keys are, but I can remember how many yards the Lions had on Thanksgiving Day against the Vikings.
60, right? I told you. 60.
Yeah, you did. Yes. Nailed it. And you nailed it.
I nailed it. That's it's quite a thing.
Does that
first, like the 1960 Edgerton basketball team, and I have the advantage. But everybody can name Kroon, Veenhoff, Verdos.
Oh, sure.
Kroon, Veenhoff, Verdos, and Graffentine.
Okay.
Because all four of them made the all-tournament team.
Well, I mean, who can't? Yeah.
you're not a real Edgerton historian unless you know the fifth starter. Bob Wiarda was the fifth starter. So that's almost as good. But I'm very impressed with remembering four out of the five UTEP starters.
Now, does this work on the DA? Hey, DA.
Yeah, I know you're mad at me, but hey. You ever hear Neville Shedd?
Right,
I did.
Right.
That doesn't work great for her. No, it doesn't.
Did you mention why does that team stick with you so much?
Because they beat Kentucky and they were this, you know, that was quite a period of NCAA basketball because these schools from non-major conferences, Loyola won in 63, Texas Western won, and it was a far different college basketball then, but the Loyola Ramblers of 63 was like a miracle
now,
team, too.
The Kentucky team that lost to Texas Western, was Rupp coaching that team?
Yes. Yeah, he was still coaching. Yeah, he was coaching.
Now, did you have the deep-rooted hatred for Kentucky, much like you do for Duke now?
No, back then?
Okay.
I did not. In fact, I kind of like Kentucky basketball because they're psychotic. They're nuts. I mean, it is name the hotbed of college football, and then Kentucky is Kentucky. I mean, I love a state where basketball is more important than football.
Sure.
And in the South, which is amazing that Kentucky cares more about football.
I love the rules you have set up for teams. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, I was at Lexington for Villanova and Georgetown. Okay. Which is a rather memorable game. But they were given the Rupp Award. I can't remember who won that year, but they were given the Rupp Award. And Happy Chandler, who was a commissioner of baseball and a former governor of Kentucky, and he was about 95 years old, but they brought him out to present the Rupp Award. And he talked about Adolph, and his story was how Adolph had do something to offend somebody. And he said, every time Adolph got his teat in the ringer, he called me up and I had to get it out for him up there at the presentation. And all these guys are going like this and Happy's up there rambling like a, I think it might have been, wasn't Ewing, I don't think, because Ewing was, might have been Ewing. Maybe it was Ewing. I'm not sure. But yeah, that was a highlight too, having Happy Chandler say that. Hondo, thanks for your time, sir. This
Thank
is great.
You, Patrick.
Yes, and I think every trick worked. We just had a. It's hard to do that full deck upside down thing on the radio.
Hondo also never been stumped.
Never been stumped.
Never been stumped.
Can I mention?
Yes, mention.
If you're interested in looking for me for an event, HondoMagic.com is my website. All my pictures, videos, and everything's on there. HondoMagic.com and. I haven't retired yet.
That's good. That's good. What's your what's your best gig you've had lately?
Probably in December, the University of Notre Dame flew me out to do 8 performances in 6 days campus for all their staff department holiday parties.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
Stayed on campus at the Morris Inn and
beautiful. Yep. Yep.
I'm going to the Michigan game on September 1st.
All right. That'll be good. All right, we shall return. This is The Ride with Royce at the Minnesota State Fair.
The Ride with Royce is live here at the 2018 Minnesota State Fair. We would like to thank once again our sponsor for the day, which is, of course, the Center for the American Experiment. And here in the newsroom is Johnny Height with a very conversational sports update. Manny, that means we got to talk a lot here.
Yeah, I can dig that.
You guys carry this, okay? I'll just once in a while I'll talk.
Fine, sounds good.
The Twins will play the A's again tonight at Target Field. Jake Odorizzi goes for the Twins, hoping to make it past 5 1/3 inning tonight.
And hoping to keep the game under 3.5 hours.
That'd be nice, yeah.
My goodness.
You think he can go 7? When's the last time he went 7 innings?
You mean a start that might take 7 hours? Is that what you said?
Exactly. Sean Manaea will pitch for the A's. The Twins, by the way, put Bobby Wilson on the DL today. He's got a sprained knee. And Willens Astudillo, Patrick's guy, has been brought back up from
the
minor
leagues. I'm very excited to see him back with the big club.
So can I make a complete confession?
Sure.
Okay, you know me, I'm a diehard. I love the Twins.
Uh-huh.
They're my squad. Baseball's my favorite sport. I want the local 9 to be good.
Uh-huh.
When we were up at the ballpark cafe last night, so Manny and I don't know if you heard the story,
yep,
but Manny and I with the beer show crew,
yep,
we went to go grab another closer IPA because we want to support our guy Glenn Perkins.
Good stuff.
And they had the Twins game on up there, and I want Oakland to win. Because I want Oakland. I'm rooting for Oakland.
You know, I root for the Twins. But when I turned it on when I got home last night
and saw that the Twins were winning,
it was the eighth inning. I thought, wow, the Twins are up.
Well, and it's again, because it's just because they have fallen out of contention. They don't really have a shot at the postseason. It's all about growth, the future, blah blah blah. And I'm all in on the Oakland A's making the playoffs, but more importantly, winning the division. I think that'd be fantastic.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say I've been saying it for the last couple of days. It'd be nice to see Moneyball finally get. Yep. The culmination of everything that had started so many years ago.
I couldn't agree with that more. I'm rooting for an Oakland-Milwaukee World Series.
that would be pretty cool.
I think that would be awesome.
I was sitting back here when you guys were talking about last night. Did you guys see any of Tower Power? You saw a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't really – we could hear a lot of them, but because you know how that stage is at the Liney Lodge, and we were back by where the beer area. Well, that's – shockingly, that's where we were standing.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been cool.
We put the page up for John Leinenkugel, too, to buy us some. That didn't happen.
The Vikings, they're playing tonight downtown. A lot of stuff going on downtown tonight. The Vikings are playing their third preseason game. They play Seattle at U.S. Bank Stadium.
What are we rooting for, Manny?
No other offensive lineman getting hurt.
Ding.
That would be.
That's nice. A good first step. Yep.
Do we know if Dalvin Cook is going to play? Are we going to see Dalvin Cook?
Oh, that's true. He has not. Well,
we haven't seen him at all.
You probably do need to get him in at least a little bit here before the regular season.
And this would be the opportunity because this is going to be the closest preseason game that's going to look like an actual game because the starters are going to play well into the game before you pull them out.
The last comment I saw was yesterday where they still weren't sure, so that doesn't help us much.
Yeah, they're being very conservative.
Well, it is a pretty significant knee injury, but I agree. Right. You would like to see him participate at some point before the regular season.
Be nice
season.
To get him a series at least.
Also tonight at the Minneapolis Armory, big boxing matches. Minneapolis native Jamal Shango James and Osseo's Golden Caleb Truax featured in two of the bouts. James is 23-1. He's ranked number 3 in the World Boxing Association's welterweight class rankings. He'll fight Mexico's Mahanre Montes. Last December, Truax, of course, became just the second Minnesotan in a century to hold a world title, sanctioned by one of boxing's major governing bodies. Tonight will be his first bout since he lost the International Boxing Federation super middleweight belt in April. He faces Brazil native Fabiano Pena. Doors for the Armory have just opened at 5 o'clock, the first of 13 scheduled bouts beginning at 5:30. James's fight, which headlines a national broadcast on FS1, tentatively slated for 9 o'clock. Truax's fight should start close to 10 o'clock.
And it is interesting that they scheduled these fights at the Armory tonight, on the same night that the Vikings are playing a preseason game. And the Armory, of course, is within walking distance of U.S. Bank Stadium.
It is a shame because, Pat has been raving about this new arena out there, and he's not alone. A lot of people have. And if there wasn't 7 million other things going on right now, I think it'd be cool to go over there and watch a fight.
It would be very cool, yeah.
I'm not paying for a ticket, so if anyone wants to give me one for free, but I'm just saying it would be kind of cool.
Get Reavers a ticket.
Right. Actually, I don't think we legally can do that, can we?
I was amazed, and I'm not a huge boxing fan, but I was amazed to see that there are 13 bouts.
Do we know what?
Doesn't that take a while? Are there three rounders, or what? How's that work?
Well, just like
I bet you the Twins game is longer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well,
I bet you the Twins game goes longer.
And I'm glad you asked that, Johnny, because much like you are Mr. Golf, I am Mr. Boxing
here.
Oh,
good.
So,
good.
I can give you all that information.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Also going on downtown, the Big Ten ACC Challenge in college volleyball at the Target Center. Of course, the Gophers did well last year, and they are right now fourth ranked. They'll face Florida State tonight and North Carolina tomorrow. Family of late NHL player Jeff Parker of White Bear Lake has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the NHL. That's happening in California Superior Court. The 83-page lawsuit alleges that while former players knew they might get injured playing in the league, they did not sign up for what the lawsuit calls avoidable brain damage. Scott Parker filed the suit as trustee of his brother's estate along with his 5-year-old niece, Jeff's daughter. The suit alleges the NHL was aware of the evidence of the risks associated with repetitive traumatic brain injuries for many decades, but deliberately ignored and actively concealed the info from the players, including the late Jeff Parker. Parker played for the Buffalo Sabres and Hartford Whalers during the late 1980s and early 1990s.
This brain injury and concussion stuff, man, this is serious stuff, man.
You know, to change the subject completely, I'm noticing that, when Patrick took off, he mostly cleaned up after himself. The mayor, for the second consecutive day, has left his bottle of Aquafina water, which I know he purchased in the same vending machine the radio station. He did the same thing yesterday because I cleared it off before the beer show began. He drank about a sip out of that water bottle.
Yeah.
And then he did the same thing yesterday.
Take a sip of this, and I'll just leave it here.
And of course, he gets in a hurry. So
he is always in a very big hurry. He's got to make the light, where in this case, he's got to make the 4:15 shuttle.
You got to make the shuttle.
Right.
After peeling back prices on some of their most popular items last year to really low levels, the Atlanta Falcons are ready to shock the sports world with a $5 craft beer.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
The Falcons will sell the $5 craft beer at their regular season games starting September 16th and any home playoff games. The craft beer price along...
This is going to make every other owner in the league just irate.
Yep.
The Falcons aren't saying who's making the beer, but
I was just going to ask what brewery it was.
It's Sweetwater, right? Isn't that the big brewery that's in Atlanta?
I don't know, but they're saying it's made in small batches locally, so I'm sure it's...
I bet it's Sweetwater.
I'm sure it's going to be good beer.
Yeah.
$5 for 12 ounces, $7 for 20 ounces, so you can get a pint for $7. Lowest price for a craft beer offering in the four major North American sports. The beer was the winner of a taste test among Falcons and Atlanta United season ticket holders. The $5 price tag for the small one matches what the team charged for a regular domestic on draft last year. When compared to beer prices for other teams, the new price is about half of what others charge for craft beer on draft.
Do you think when the 32 owners in the NFL get together and their off-season meetings or whatever, you think the other 32 or the other 31 owners go up to Arthur Blank and say, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, remember when he bought the team? Because he was a Home Depot guy. Isn't that where he made all of his money? Wasn't he?
Arthur Blank, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember when he bought the team because he was either a native or he was a season ticket holder. I can't remember, but I remember him specifically saying that the first thing he did, he lowered ticket prices because he said, I want people that are actually fans of this team to be able to come and watch this game and not be robbed blind, essentially. Because when I was down there, I went to the whatever week it was, October 1st, I went to the Bills-Falcons game at that monstrosity that they built down there. But they literally have, on the open-end stadium, it's because it's constructed somewhat like a horseshoe, they have a gigantic craft beer bar at that open-end zone.
Wow. Yep.
And you were served right away, but that's because that's where everybody went. They didn't go get their beers at the concession stand because it was $5 for if you wanted a domestic or whatever. It was really, really cool.
That would be at a ball game, yeah.
Well, and I went to the – I know you're going to make fun of me. I was at the Vikings preseason game last Saturday.
You're such a loser.
Well, I had an excuse because a friend of mine had flown into town, and he had not yet seen the new stadium, so we virtually went there just to walk around for an hour so he could check it out.
Okay.
And two cans of Coors Light. Two.
Mm-hmm. $18.
$19.50.
My God.
$19.50 for two cans of Coors Light.
How big were they? Like 16 ounces or 12? Or?
Does it matter?
Well, yeah.
It could have been 116 ounces. Even if it's 116 ounces, that's still a ripoff.
Serena Williams will no longer be allowed to wear her skin-tight black cat suit at the French Open.
This is an outrage!
The French Tennis Federation President Bernard Giuccelli said the tournament that Williams has won three times is introducing a dress code to regulate players' uniforms because, quote, I think sometimes we've gone too far.
If this were not Friday, this would be my daily complaint.
In an interview in Tennis Magazine's 500th edition, Giuccelli singled out the figure-hugging black suit that Williams wore this year at Roland Garros and said made her feel like a superhero. He said it will no longer be accepted. One must respect the game and the place. He said,
Why is it not viewed as being respectful of the game? John, you're supposed to have those answers, John.
Well, because he thinks it's too form-fitting and skin-tight.
Okay.
Perhaps reveals more than he
is. I bet he's fun at parties.
Yeah, I bet he's a blast to hang out with.
Yeah.
He said the new rules won't be as strict at Roland Garros as Wimbledon's, which require the players wear white, but he said they will impose what he called certain limits.
Do we have a comment from Serena? Do we have a response from Serena?
How does she feel about this? I did not see anything from Serena about this.
I'd be interested to know what she thinks about this.
Giants pitcher Derek Holland issued an apology.
Oh, no. What did he do?
Well, he appeared on the show Intentional Talk.
Yeah.
And apparently he spoke in a mock Asian accent, and some folks didn't like it. Holland, accompanied on the show by Giants massage therapist Hiro Ogawa, the pair attempted a skit that cast Ogawa as Holland's sidekick or hype man, with Holland speaking in a halting, heavily accented voice. So in other words, if this was, if they were listening to us, Rook would be protested about every other day.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But in all, it's 2018.
Yep.
You're a Major
yep.
League Baseball pitcher.
Be
you can't do this.
Well, he has said. Remember, he does voices. Remember, he does.
Yeah,
Harry
Carey. Yep. I remember that. Yeah.
He said, "I want to make sure it's clear. This is all on me. It's become a distraction to the team. I don't want that, and I don't want to have offended anybody." Holland said he had spoken.
Is that the non-apology, John?
Kind of.
Okay.
He said he had spoken though to Ogawa and apologized, and to another Asian employee of the Giants. He said they understood we were just doing a bit, but I went a little too far. Whatever I have to do to take care of the situation, I will do it.
It's too bad he's horse crap because he's a pretty funny guy and he's easily likable. But, his career is really...
Well, he's actually been better this year.
Is he really?
I was surprised,
really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because wasn't he...
hasn't been great, but...
He was essentially released last year by... Was it the White Sox or the... Who had him? The Rangers still?
I think you're right. White Sox.
Yeah.
No, he did...
White Sox.
He
has bounced back, huh?
Decently for the... Well, you know, he's pitching 500 with a 4 ERA. So
he's a guy.
He's a guy.
Yeah.
And the NBA's Board of Governors are expected to pass rule changes for the 2018-19 season.
Okay.
It includes resetting the shot clock after an offensive rebound to 14 seconds from 24.
I like that.
Wait. So it wouldn't go to the full...
It wouldn't reset to the full 24 if you get an offensive rebound.
Go to 14.
Okay. 14, I like that.
Also simplifying the clear path foul rule and expanding the definition of the hostile act to more easily trigger instant replay.
I'm going to show you a hostile act at 6 o'clock.
No more replays in basketball.
I agree with that. I think maybe baseball, but no sport suffers from replay more than basketball.
Collar and I were at a Lynx game a couple of weeks ago.
Nerds.
Hey, they're fun to watch. They're the only team in town that wins.
That's anything. A good point. I shouldn't mock.
But no, they were reviewing whether or not the possession ended at the end of the quarter or something like that. And the review literally took like 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
The momentum sometimes
it's
at the end of those
games. It's so ridiculous. Yeah. You don't need to review these things all the time.
The Board of Governors will vote on the new rule changes September 20th through the 21st at a meeting. Need a 2/3 majority to pass the legislation. The league says they think the resetting of the shot clock after offensive rebounds will increase shot attempts, especially at the end of games. Only other thing I got for you, there was a day baseball game. The Cubs beat Cincy 3-2.
So they didn't trade Matt Harvey, the Reds?
They did not, no.
Because they had played, they had until like 3 o'clock today or whatever.
They decided, the story I read said they had decided not to make that move. So
I wonder why.
How have they been doing since Riggleman took over?
They were above 500 for a brief
while. Yeah, they were somewhat of a surprise. We have been instructed to wrap it up from Kenny Olson. All right. Thank you very much, Johnny.
Kenny.
We are going to step away for a brief moment, and we are going to get a live town baseball report from the other mayor, Denny Loffenberger, when the Ride with Royce continues right after this.
Get rhythm. Registration is underway for the 37th edition of the Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon, running from downtown Minneapolis to the state capitol grounds in St. Paul on Sunday, October 7th. Accomplish a bold feat while savoring the scenic beauty of two cities cheer you on. Run the most revered event in Minnesota running, the Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon. Details at 1500ESPN.com, keyword events. And join us for Hubbard Broadcasting Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Hubbard will be taking over Dan Patch Park Saturday, August 25th, and 1500ESPN will be on stage from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Judd and Matthew Collar kick it off with a live edition of Saturday Sports Talk. Afterwards, Phil Mackey takes the stage with Jumpin' Jim Brunzel from noon to 1 p.m. Then a live edition of The Beer Show with Reavers and Fratelloni rounds out the day. More details at 1500ESPN.
Thank you, Jonathan. The Ride with Royce is live here at the Minnesota State Fair. One final segment here. Patrick on his way over to the fights over at the Armory in Minneapolis. And so why not then go to town baseball, because that is the sport near and dear to my heart. And we are going to get a live report from the mayor himself, the other mayor here on 1500 ESPN, the mayor of Chanhassen, Minnesota, Denny Loffenberger, who is also the 9-year radio voice, public address announcer voice, of the Chanhassen Redbirds. Denny, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Chris. Can you hear me all right?
We hear you loud and clear, my man. So we got a little bit of rain. The Redbirds are down in New Prague, and they are taking on Sauk Rapids, correct?
That's correct. And I'm right outside New Prague Memorial Park right now, and there's no rain. Sidewalks are dry. It looks like the first game is underway. Moorhead is playing Northfield. tie score after three innings. So I think we're going to have a doubleheader tonight.
Fantastic. And I know this is really the weekend that the opening weekend is a lot of fun. But when you get to that second weekend, the second weekend of three weekends for the Minnesota State Amateur Baseball Tournament, this is really when you start to see some fantastic matchups in both Class B and, of course, in Class C. My Faribault Lakers are taking on the Mora Bulldogs on Sunday afternoon down in New Prague. But let me just get your first overall impressions of that beautiful facility that they have redone down in the city of New Prague. I can't tell you what a marvelous job that they've done with that facility.
Yeah, it's really a good facility. I know the city put in some money and a lot of sweat equity from all of the people in the community. They got brand new, looks like they got brand new lights. They got brand new dirt, ag lime everywhere. And the stadium is just it's just clean and clean as can be. There isn't a bad seat in the whole house. It's and what a great tribute to this community for how they have come together to really organize this, and it really is a showcase operation here. I was here for the New Prague game last week when they played the Ortonville Rocks, and New Prague fans were everywhere. It was just a fantastic venue. It's going to be a good venue tonight, too. The two games tonight, Moorhead is playing Northfield right now. Northfield is the number one seed out of their region, and Moorhead, I think, is the number two seed out of their region up north. The second game, as you said, is the Chanhassen Redbirds against the Sauk Rapids Cyclone, and this is a little bit of a rematch from last year, Chris. Last year, the Chanhassen Redbirds were facing elimination in the first round. They had bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning.
That's right.
And Chanhassen's Gunnar McCarthy flew one over the left center field fence for a walk-off grand slam that put Chanhassen past the round of the first round and into the double elimination. And ultimately, they lost two games to the Meesville Mudhens on the last day. But this should be a good game tonight. Two great pitchers throwing for each team.
Denny, it's Manny. You kind of answered my question already, but what sort of crowds are you expecting for these games tonight? I got to imagine a lot of people are turning out for this thing.
Yeah, this is Class B night here, Manny, in New Prague, and the four teams are, these are, you know, good fan-following teams. I don't think it'll be as many at the stadium tonight as it was for that first game last week with New Prague. I think there were close to 800 people here for the New Prague-Ortonville game. But they'll probably have 300-400 here tonight. Of course, they got games going on in Shakopee as well tonight. The New Prague and Shakopee are busy tonight. And then tomorrow, the Class B will play at Jordan at the Mini-Met, which is another great venue as well.
And that other game that you were mentioning, too, in Shakopee right now, Meesville is up 1-0 over Forest Lake in the other Class B game that's over in Shakopee. You know, we were talking about attendance earlier, too, Denny, and I think the city of New Prague really lucked out with their matchups on Sunday. I have no idea, and I could look it up. I haven't done so yet this week, and maybe I will once the show is over and John Haidt finally brings me my craft beer. But I want to know what the one-day attendance record is for a state amateur baseball tournament day, because the four games are New Market Muskies, the New Prague Orioles, the Faribault Lakers, and the Belle Plaine Tigers.
Wow.
They are going to shatter. With all of those teams being within, I think, a half an hour, they are going to shatter the one-day attendance record.
Yeah, Chris, I agree with you. And I have the good pleasure of doing the public address for those first two games, the New Prague-Hanska game and also the New Market Muskies against, I think it's Fort Ripley Rebels, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to be a rockin' stadium, there's no doubt about it. I just hope the weather holds out. I'm
yep.
hearing a little bit about rain, but should be a great day.
All right,
tonight's
so
game is.
Oh, go ahead, Denny. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, tonight's game is going to be a great game. Chanhassen Redbirds are throwing their ace, Logan Spitzak. He pitched a great game against Elko Express, allowed no earned runs over seven innings. And the other thing is, Brandon Arnold, our all-star shortstop, Mr. Reliable in the field, hit one home run all season long. And against the Elko Express, he hit three home runs.
Wow.
Two single home runs and a grand slam. 3-2 count, two outs, bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth inning, and Arnold parks one 330 feet away at the Jordan Mini-Met. It was just the crowd went wild. They finished the game, beat the Elko Express 12-3. It was a great game.
All right, so I know that when we do radio on these airwaves, Denny, we're supposed to be impartial and we're not supposed to show our allegiances, but I'm not going to be blind to the fact that I'm also obviously pulling for my Faribault Lakers and, of course, my Chanhassen Redbirds. How can we get it done this year? Are we going to get over the hump this year and get past those sneaky Meesville Mudhens?
Well, no doubt Meadsville's going to make it all the way. Now, they're the number, I think they're the number two seed out of the South. I think Northfield made it as the number one seed. So, but Meadsville will likely be in the mix. And but I think Chanhassen, this is a little bit of a hump that they have to get over tonight, because they're not going to be the home team tonight. Sauk Rapids Cyclones drew the home field, so okay. Chanhassen will have to build a big lead and not let Sauk Rapids come back in the bottom of the ninth the way Chanhassen did it to them last year.
So, Denny, really quickly, I know that we got a couple minutes left here, but just really quickly, I know that they're a big rival of you guys in the River Valley League, but how cool was it to see the Victoria Vicks make it back to the state tournament this year, less than a year removed from losing what was the heartbeat of Victoria baseball in Mike Poppitz? I went down for that game to watch those guys clinch, and I got to tell you, there was a lot of really wet eyes in the stands with just the overcome of emotion with family members. I mean, Mike was Victoria baseball.
He was. He ran that park. He ran the team, and I think you know that everybody on the team wore 44 on their jersey in honor of Mike Poppitz. And the other cool thing is there were some exits from the team. Some of the older guys left the team, but they had an influx of high school kids, graduates from last year and the year before, mm-hmm. and those guys played their heart out for Clark. It was wonderful to see that. Chris Staline came in and helped them a little bit too. I saw the Vicks play a few games, and those guys never gave up. And it was, you know, when they beat Shakopee to be the number three seed, get them into the state tournament, that was like, that was wonderful. Yep. That was wonderful. And Victoria is going to be a good team for a long time. They got some really good core young players that really love the game. They're playing college ball, whether it's at Concordia or other schools. And Victoria is going to be they're going to be in the mix for a long time. Big rivalry between the Redbirds and the Vicks, and it's a friendly rivalry now too.
All right, well, Denny, thank you so much for making a couple of minutes for us, and send my best to the crew and go Birds, baby.
All right, thanks, Chris. Bye bye.
You got it. There he goes, Denny Laufenberger, the voice of the Chanhassen Redbirds. Manny, I got to tell you, I can't remember if you've told me this or not, but if you've attended a state amateur baseball game, but it's so much fun because for the most part, outside of the second and third rounds of Class B ball, it's single elimination, so it's set up much like the NCAA tournament where you win or you're done. And so there's obviously a lot of high emotion in these games, but it's really, really, really good baseball.
It really is, and I actually covered when I worked in Hastings.
Oh, that's right.
I covered the Hastings Hawks during the summer, and I don't remember what year it was, or even I don't even remember what the location was, but they were in the state tournament. And it was incredible. I mean, you watch all the crowds, the fans from every team. I mean, and there's, even if there's one game going on, you'll see fans from a team that's not even playing, and they're into the game.
Yep.
I mean, it's incredible. It's a wonderful atmosphere.
So, as Denny mentioned, Northfield is up 1-0. Of course, Rice County, I got a pull for Northfield in that game, even though they're supposed to be a rival of mine. But Northfield and Dundas are both still alive in Class B, and this is going to be a really good weekend, folks. If you aren't coming out to the state fair, not going to the Vikings game or whatever, this is about as close to the Metro, too, as you're going to find a state amateur tournament with the sites in Shakopee, New Prague, and of course in Jordan is the third site. There's a lot of really, really great games this weekend, and of course we're playing in one of them on Sunday afternoon. But it's a lot of fun. So before we go too, Manny, I did want to read this. Let's switch gears just a little bit. There was a statement released from Urban Meyer just a couple of minutes ago, and of course Brett McMurphy was all over this on Twitter. The statement from Urban Meyer reads as follows. My words and demeanor on Wednesday did not show how seriously I take relationship violence. I sincerely apologize. I was taught at a very young age that if I ever hit a woman, I would be kicked out of the house and never welcome back. I have the same rule in my house and in the football program at Ohio State. Over the years, we have worked hard to educate and remind our coaches and players of the seriousness of relationship violence. I understand my lack of more action in this situation has raised concerns about this commitment. I once again apologize for this, and I extend my sympathy and or my empathy, excuse me, to all women, men, and families who are affected by relationship violence. This has been a real learning experience for me. I fully intend to use my voice and more effectively to be part of the situation and the solution. Let me say here and now, what I should have said on Wednesday, I sincerely apologize to Courtney Smith and her children for what they have gone through. Here is what I will say to that, to Urban Meyer. You're a liar. You're only saying this right now because you weren't fired. That's the only reason why you are.
And where was this on Wednesday?
Yeah, because that's Well, anyway, that's another conversation for another
people
day.
People need to stop defending him.
Yes,
stop
they do.
Stop defending him.
All right,
stop
so that's going to do it for us here on The Ride with Royce. Thank you to everyone that stopped out here at the Minnesota State Fair. Thanks again to the Center for American Experiment for being our daily sponsor. Jonathan, thank you back at the studio for all of your hard work starting at 1 o'clock today. We really appreciate it, sir. And you know what? We'll do this again. Hey, live beer show tomorrow at 1 o'clock for Manny Hill. This is Chris Reavers. Patrick, we'll be back on Monday. See ya.